What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 116. I am Derek, and this is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, buy your stuff there, kicks us back a little bit of money, keep this podcast going, as usual. And with us today, also as usual, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? Sunday. I'm actually super awake. Actually, like we were talking before, I'm like, I haven't had that much caffeine today, and I'm super awake, so it's pretty feel pretty good right now.
No drop off.
Yeah, so it's good.
Nice.
Just you know.
And I'm crushing because I just binged all but one episode of Stranger Things 2. So
yeah, so I wanted to do the podcast earlier, and Derek's like, "Well, yeah. I'm binge watching Stranger Things. I'll get back to you." And I was like, "Oh man." Yeah. And then I was just like cleaning up my place, and I was like, "Wonder when Derek's gonna come back to this podcast."
I thought that like we'd watch a few episodes and then take a break or whatever, but
so it's that good. Is it really that good?
It's really that good. Yeah.
Okay, so I have to get on that, I guess, because we were talking earlier too when you were telling me that like I saw it the other night. You know, it was like the end of my day, and I was like, oh, I'll go on Netflix, maybe I'll watch something really quick. And I saw it, and I was like, it's dangerous. You know,
like, I think you could probably like you can watch the first episode, right?
Yeah,
and not immediately need to binge it, but I think once you go to the second episode, it really draws you into the story, and you kind of like can't put it down.
Yeah, and that's what's so bad about shows on Netflix. It's like you can binge them.
You have the whole thing.
Yeah, you have the whole thing. It's not like a show on normal TV where it's like, okay, now I have to wait a week to, you know.
Yeah, and in a way, like I watch Game of Thrones, right? And I kind of like the week in between where I can talk about it with friends and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally.
There's trade-offs, but also it's really fun to, you know, have a conclusion at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, very, very true. So let's talk about tech. How about that?
Sure.
Since this is a tech podcast.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
So we'll start off with our reviews this week, and we have three pretty cool products here. So we'll start out with Ryan's review, and he's taking a look at another Asa case, and it's their Inferno 310. And the previous one was the Storm 6000, and that thing was just way overpriced. Like, $170 is just a lot for an Asa case. Yeah. Even though it came with, like, the RGB fans and all that, it's just way too expensive.
Yeah, so difficult to justify.
Yeah, so this case is a mid-tower, and it has pretty unique layouts. The price is pretty good on this one, too. It is...
$90 on...
Yeah, and with the mail-in rebate, it's 70, so it's not bad. Again, just like every case we review these days, tempered glass side panel. And I believe that it has RGB fans as well. It's two RGB fans included, tempered glass side panel. Pretty open design. It does have a
optical
drive bay, which, if it's removable, I'm cool with, right? And it doesn't look like it. That front part opens sort of like a door, so it doesn't kind of mess up the front of the case as most optical drive bays do.
Yeah, but it also creates the need for that to be a door. So
true, very true. Yeah. But it's like the same as a design, almost the same internal design as the other case. You know, when it comes to as, it's pretty basic.
It's kind of a few years behind.
Yeah,
it's kind of got the open case concept, and it's got the, you know, the shroud and everything. But it's kind of like the first iterations of the PSU shroud, and still throwing the optical drive bay in there. Yeah,
it does have, like I said, the two RGB fans in the front, a third fan that's also included, but it's not RGB in the rear, and then the front panel. There are some RGB lights on it as well, so that kind of matches with the fan. So it kind of gives you a cool look without having to have an extra cost on top of what you're already paying, and the Asa logo on the PSU shroud does light up as well. So,
yep.
So yeah, it's just like a cool little case.
I think for $70, it's not a bad case.
It's not a bad case, but I do have to say, for $70, the Cooler Master Case 5 light RGB that we talked about last week.
Yeah,
you get three RGB fans, tempered glass side panel. You know, and it just, I don't know, that case did it a lot more for me than this one.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be.
So there are trade-offs. I think Cooler Master has the money to make their case cheaper, if that makes sense.
They can afford it, yeah.
Yeah.
A narrow margin on it.
Yeah.
And they probably have cheaper costs as well in creating the case.
Yes, yes, for sure. So, but it's good to see Asa get on the tempered glass and RGB fan deal. And I think this is actually, the whole RGB craze is actually causing many companies who never made fans before to actually make their own fans.
Just,
you know,
it's cost prohibitive.
Yeah, it just makes sense for them to manufacture their own fans. So we're seeing a lot of RGB fans, and we're actually going to be doing a video series. I have a lot of RGB fans here. So I'm going to be doing a video series going over a ton of different RGB fans, so you guys can, you know, if you're looking to do the RGB thing, you know which one to choose and all the features and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, what's available out there.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned for that. But good little case. I like the price on this one compared to the other one, because I'm never going to pay $170 for an ASA case. It just won't happen.
No, that's tough to swing.
Yeah. So
one thing I think that I'm noticing as I click through here, you're going to want to be careful with this case if you have a longer power supply, because he had to actually remove the hard drive cages. You might not use them, but you might. On the other hand, you know,
it doesn't
have that much space. Two spaces for solid state drives. So. But with the those drive bay cages in there, it's pretty tight. It looks like it's only maybe 2 inches off the end of his smaller EVGA 650 watt power supply.
And that's the thing that I've seen. So a lot of these cases are designed like this. They almost have the exact same design.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't allow you to remove the hard drive cage, which not only prohibits longer power supplies, but also prohibits in the front if you want a thicker radiator as well.
Yeah.
So it's good that you could take it out of this one. Cases that give you the option if you want to do certain things. They're not just like locked into, you know, kind of what you see is what you get. So it's nice that you have that ability with this one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
so,
it looks like this would support maybe not a very thick, at the 240, maybe a 280 in the front, but not too thick of a radiator.
Yeah, you kind of...
Just with those fans in there, it looks pretty tight. You're going to want to check your clearances. Before you get into that.
Yeah, that's with any of these cases, is that you know, especially ones that have the full length PSU shroud, is that you want to make sure, you know, what you can fit in the front actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, but a cool little case. I like the design of it. It's kind of what we expect from ASA, though, I would say.
Mm-hmm. The front front panel design is really nice. And the tempered glass is nice as well.
Yeah, I love tempered glass. It's like, if I get a case with acrylic now, I'm like, what is this?
It just shouldn't happen.
Yeah. So we'll move on to an awesome product, and I love these. I can't say enough about these. Everybody who is a content creator and works in video or does a lot of photo editing should have one of these. It is the ADATA SE730H external solid state drive. So this is a teeny tiny little solid state drive, and this thing is super, super small. It's external, it's portable, it's USB 3.1. And it's just fast. It's just a fast little drive. I don't know. There's really not much to say.
Not much more to be said about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like these things. This is what I lived off of. You know, editing 4K video. I had an older ADATA drive that was like this, and I have an older Samsung drive that I lived off of for the past year. That's what I used to edit 4K video on the go. It just.
Yeah.
It's just fast.
Yeah, so long as you have that proper USB connection, you're good to go.
Yeah, and this uses USB Type-C. Yeah. One thing that's cool about this one, it is IP68 dust and waterproof, so you can actually put this underwater if you have the little cap closed at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a little, you know, if you're like a photographer and it's like raining and it's in your bag, like you won't have to worry about something like that. Being a solid-state drive, you can throw this thing off a wall and you're fine. You know, you don't have any moving parts in this. They're very hard to break. It has a metal casing as well. And this one, they had it military impact resistance tested as well. So you could really throw this thing around. And the only thing I didn't like about this is that it only ships with a Type-C cable. So you need a PC or a laptop or a Mac that has a Type-C connector. And... while there are
type
a lot
C to type C.
Yeah, type C to type C. So there are a lot, like all the new motherboards you're going to get are going to have a type C connector, and a good amount of new laptops will. But the thing I don't like about this is that it makes it harder to be backwards compatible. So say I'm transferring files with this and I have an older PC, even an older PC that doesn't have USB 3, it might have USB 2, that's always going to be a type A connector.
Yeah.
And there's just no cable. While you can pick up a cable for $5-6 on Amazon, it's just an extra cost and an extra hassle.
Yeah, I think at the price of this drive, they should have easily thrown in a second cable for you.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Even say that the USB-C to Type A probably would have been a better choice. At this point in time, there's not usually front panel Type C. I think we saw Inwin at CES this year had them, but not too many others are putting Type C on the front panel.
Yeah.
So.
And the cable's not that long, so if you do have it connected to your back of your system, which I did, it's going to hang there.
Yeah.
You know, all new, almost every Z270 and mm-hmm. Z370 as well as all the Ryzen boards should have one Type-C connector, unless it's like a B350 or, you know, something like that. Even those do, for the most part.
Yeah, it just seems like it's a little bit too early, especially when we're not even seeing all smartphones to Type-C yet. So.
Yeah, so that was the only issue I really had with this. But it's just an awesome little drive, and it's super, super fast. In my testing, with transferring files, like, right around 530 megabytes a second over USB. Like,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's super fast. I mean, that's you know, just transferring so much in such a quick time. So it can be a drive that you use to edit video. I edited video directly on it.
Yeah.
It's a great drive to pull, you know, a ton of like raw photos, raw files or really high-end JPEGs, you know, to transfer them from your card to this and then from this to your editing PC or whatever it may be. This is just something great to have.
Definitely.
I would highly recommend this to anybody who's a content creator or is working with large file types. This is perfect. Or if you're transferring large files from home to work, something like that, this is the perfect thing for you. And this one's cool. It's a metal casing that's like gold too, so it looks pretty cool.
Nice.
And it literally fits in your pocket. It's smaller than a 2.5 inch SSD and it's super small.
It's perfect. So. Reminds me of when Samsung came out with that with their version.
Yes, and talking about that, I will be reviewing the new version next week.
Nice.
We'll get to see a little comparison. I still use the T3, which Derek is talking about. It's just a small, great little drive. So yeah, definitely.
Which is kind of funny. One of the downsides of this one, it's only available in up to 512, whereas Samsung, I believe they have a terabyte version.
2 terabyte.
2 terabyte version now?
Yeah, up to 2 terabyte, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So 512 seems a little
out. Yeah, that 2 terabyte drive is like $739 though.
Yeah. So. But I mean, it's a professional device.
Yes. Oh yeah. These are for serious content creators.
Definitely.
Yeah. So definitely check out that review. Really cool product. I would highly recommend this one, especially if you're out and about. And this one is a little bit more, like I said, it has the dust and waterproofing, so it can get wet. You can, you know, put it through a lot. So if you're out and about, that's definitely a drive I would recommend.
Yeah.
So I also took a look at another awesome product, a flagship product. It is Corsair's flagship keyboard, which is the K95 RGB Platinum. And this thing is just insane. K95 has been out for a while. This is the newer one that has even more RGB lighting on it, as well as new Cherry MX flavors. And I got it with the Cherry MX speed switches. And these things are actually really nice. I do like them. I don't like that they don't have the tactile bump that I'm used to with like a blue, because I love my blues. I love loud keyboards.
Yeah, yeah.
But the speed switches are really good because...
It's a high standard, yeah.
Yeah, the speed switches, they have a shorter travel distance, which means you're pressing your keys faster. And I really had to test this. I had to do a lot of writing, more writing than gaming, because I do a lot more writing than gaming these days. But just like, you know, when you're writing and you kind of feel like you're in the flow and you feel like nothing can stop you, you know, like you're just typing so fast. Like that's what these keys allowed me to do a lot, like a lot of the time. And they felt really good. They're more or less like a brown because they're not that loud.
Okay.
And just a shorter travel distance, really. They do have the same actuation force, like 45 grams, as a red, though. So like they're like between a red and a brown, I would say.
Okay, but definitely a bit of a softer switch.
Yes, yes. Like compared to all the blue boards that I have here, this is much, much softer. And even compared to a red board, much softer, like feel and touch and everything. So... definitely something that you can get used to, But if not, they also offer this keyboard in a red and a brown too, so you can kind of pick. I would love this board in a blue, because that's just me, but
it's odd that they don't have a blue option.
I know, right? I don't know if this is just because, like, this is, you know, a blue is, while it can be used for, it's like a everything key, at least in my opinion, because it's great for typing, you know what I mean? While the reds, the brown, and this speed switch is, like, really made for gaming, and this, of course, is a their flagship gaming keyboard, so that might have been the reason, you know what I mean? That they're only offered in those three flavors, at least currently, you know what I mean?
I still think that blue is still, like, the standard switch.
Even that's it, it's gaming. It's my favorite switch. I love the clickiness.
I know that the other keys get marked, like, I know that the reds get marketed as the gaming switch. I don't think I agree.
Maybe we're biased. I don't know. You know, maybe. I could maybe, definitely maybe see this
the older.
Yeah, maybe we're old geezers, you know. maybe the kids like the reds and the reds and the browns. I mean, reds and browns are typically what you will find on most gaming products, I would say. But the blue, it gives you the best of both worlds, at least I think. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Every keyboard that I get to review besides this one, like, if I have a chance to get a blue, I'll get the blue because I like the blues. Unless it's like something new and different, like the speed was new and different, so I wanted to try it and see what it was about. And I would highly recommend it if you're a gamer, especially like a high APM game, you know, like League of Legends or something, or something where you're really doing a lot. I would definitely highly recommend this switch for sure. But back to the keyboard, because the keyboard,
kind of got off
it. All metal design. This thing is completely solid, so you have no flex whatsoever. You have 6 dedicated macro keys, which of course are great for MMOs or even launching programs or all that kind of stuff. Dedicated multimedia keys, as well as a volume slider. And I know you love the sliders on your keyboards.
Definitely.
Yeah, volume slider, removable wrist rest, and the wrist rest actually is double sided, so you can flip the little rubber piece over, and you have 2 different feels there. So that's cool as well. RGB backlighting and some of the best software you can get for a keyboard as well. Corsair software is great, I think. You get an extra USB port on this keyboard too. So you could connect a mouse, flash drive, headset, all that kind of stuff. It's just like, it's an all-around keyboard. It is really good. It is expensive. $199.
Yeah. It looks like a high-end board, though. Like, it looks like it plays the part. And it's not, like, $200 keyboards are not uncommon. So
they are not. Corsair, Razer. I don't know if the high-end, the new high-end Logitech. The Duckies are very expensive.
Tons of companies have a $200 board. Do you think this is at that level?
I do. I agree.
It looks like it. Just from
I can see where somebody would be like, oh, well, there's another RGB keyboard, a mechanical RGB keyboard that's a full size that I can get for like $120, $130, but it's not going to have the MX speed switches for sure. It's not going to have those.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as high quality build, in my opinion.
And that's what really, to me, it's just the high quality materials.
It might have a wrist rest, but it's not going to be the double sided, which you might only use one side, but it's just another thing there. It's definitely not going to have the software support. Like, Corsair Q software is awesome. You know, the lighting effects that you can do on this keyboard are just insane. And there's a whole community where on Corsair's website where you can download ones. Not only for specific games, they have one that's called like Campfire. Like, you know how you can go on Netflix during the holidays and watch like a campfire, like you could have it on your keyboard, like same type of thing. Like, you know, this also has an RGB LED bar that goes across the top that's not on a lot of keyboards. Well, it's nothing super special. It's just another more RGBs on your desk type of thing. You know, this has USB pass-through as well. Extremely high-quality cabling, like, that's where your extra money is going in. You know what I mean? All those things that I mentioned are things that you're not going to find on a normal RGB keyboard. You're just not. You know what I mean? Like a normal mechanical, you're not going to find all these other things that I just mentioned, you know?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, so I think it's worth it. I think that if you're serious about you know, you can use this as a typing keyboard, but if you're serious about gaming, or you do it a lot, or you want a keyboard that's going to be like, this is my keyboard for the next 3 to 5 years, this is it.
I think the keyboard. To me, it just looks like your ultimate gaming rig keyboard, right?
Yeah, it is. I really, really like it. If it was in blues, it would be like the keyboard I use from now on. But I'm going back to my blue keyboard because I just like the blues.
Yeah, it's hard to stay away.
Yeah. And the blue that I have, what we talked about, is that little Drevo keyboard that has the PPT keycaps. Yeah. Those are a game changer as well. So if Corsair comes out with a blue, something I can get in blues with PPT keycaps, I'm all over it. Because the K95 has a much better build than this little Drevo keyboard. But the Drevo is blues, and it has the PPT keycaps, which are game changer.
Yeah, a lot of it just comes down to the feel.
Yeah, so. But this keyboard is just so awesome. Highly recommend it. Like I said, it's their flagship. I mean, any flagship product is going to, for the most part, be pretty awesome. And I think this definitely is worth the $200 if you're serious about typing or gaming. And it's going to last you a very long time. I forget what their warranty is on it. I'm not sure. I'll have to find out. But I know it's a decent warranty, too.
Yeah, I would guess.
At least 2 years, if not more than that.
Yeah, at least I would guess it's probably longer.
Corsair has been really good with their warranties. Let's see.
When you get into that price range, you usually get a little more.
I'm on the website now. I'm trying to find it so I can tell you guys. Warranty. Nope. I can't find it. Oh, it's only 2 year warranty.
Oh.
But again, I think it will last you a lot longer than that. I would almost guarantee it. So.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah. So that is our reviews for this week, and that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And I just love Case Mods. They're just, I don't know, just a lot of fun. So this one, I picked it because of the colors, and I haven't seen a build use these colors in a while. And I always say with, like, this is, like, my favorite color or whatever with a lot of these builds, but I really do like the orange and white. I don't think we see enough cases that are orange, or enough builds that use the orange and white.
It definitely has been a few years.
Yeah. And this is done inside the Fantex, the Enthu Evolve. And painted white,
and some custom machining.
The case is turned the opposite way, and a custom power supply cover, which just looks perfect almost. It's just a complete box there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Of course, custom water cooling, the hexagon reservoir. Are those reservoir and pump together, or those just reservoirs?
Those are just reservoirs.
Okay, yeah. I just love those, too.
Yeah,
whoever came up with that idea is just genius, because we see them in so many builds.
Yeah, and they're great because they're a design feature, so, like, not necessary, but this build has two of them. Like, they integrate into each other. So there you go. You sold two.
Yeah.
They're perfect.
Custom cabling on this. Custom. I don't know if you can see it, but if you look at the graphics card, the block that's on top of it, actually has an orange Aorus logo on the end.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see that. That's awesome, I think. I love the Aorus logo, and to have, like, a back plate like that on them, not even back. Is that the back plate or top plate?
No, that's the top
plate. That's a top plate. But it's, like, orange acrylic you can see there.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. I really like the cabling, the way the 24-pin loops, and then the GPU, is it 2A pins? I think it's 2A. Yeah, the 2A pins, like, loop over it. So it kind of does this little, like, flip-flop thing.
Yeah, I like that as well.
It looks really good.
Yeah. And this is done by, we didn't mention, ML Mods, and I think we featured a few of his builds in the past.
Frost Orange. Oh, he's using that design airboard, too, that Gigabyte.
It's
interesting to use a Gigabyte, because Gigabyte was the one, remember, was it the G5 board that was, like, no, it was the overclocking board, so it wasn't a G5 one. It was super orange and white.
Yeah, they don't make those. They don't make those anymore. That's the I know exactly what you're talking about, because I had one.
What it was called. It was a sick board. It had, like, definitely 24 phase power supply.
You know what's weird is that Aorus, their colors are orange and, like, black and orange or whatever. Mm-hmm, yeah. But, like, all the boards now, they're just black PCB because they all have RGB LEDs on them now. Yeah. But it would be awesome for Aorus to make, like they have this design air, right? Which I think for, I forget which one, for I didn't like it this generation. Like, the Z270 design air.
It was sort of plain.
Yeah, the Z270 design air was, like, sick. It was, like, awesome. Because we talked about this because they released the new one. And we're like, it's not that great.
Talked about it maybe a couple months ago.
Or, like, if they had this just, like, the ultimate gaming board that was, like, orange, like, that, bring back that color, like, yeah, you know, and everything. Yeah. That'd be cool.
It looks great.
Yeah.
In my opinion, at least.
Yeah, so very cool build. Definitely check it out for sure. I like it. Yeah, okay. See, he is using the Z270X Design Air board.
Oh, is that the older one?
Yeah, that's the older one. Okay. Good for him, because that's the one I like. That's the one I like. So, awesome. And I don't know if you noticed it, but in the top of the case, too, the filtering on the
orange screens.
Yeah, the orange screens. That takes a lot of work, because those are like little, especially on the side, uh-huh. Those are like little screens that you had to either take out or carefully paint.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very cool.
No, and I think that Fantex needs to take a cue from this and do some mm-hmm. of this panel machining. Obviously not probably for like their mass production, because this is probably pretty expensive machining, but it looks really good the way he's got these. They're not hexagons. They're little triangles and little pentagon. Hexagon shapes, but I don't know. It looks good, I think.
Very cool.
There's lots of stuff you can do with that.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, it adds more airflow, which the front part of that case does not have a whole lot. So,
no.
So, yeah. So, definitely check out this build. Awesome job by ML Mods. And we have full section of case builds from Case Mod Friday. So, definitely go ahead and check that out. And I released the video for our Ultimate RGB build a few weeks back. Do we even talk about it? I think we talked about it on the podcast. I know we missed a couple episodes. We might not even talk about it. But I wrote the article as well, kind of going through my thought process and kind of some of the issues that I went through with building in this case, which is the Inwin 805 Infinity. While it's an amazing case, there are some issues, with airflow and just things fitting, because this is more of like a showpiece case, not like a...
Well, yeah. It's not like a big massive build case. It's a mid tower, right?
Yes.
If it's not, it should be in that category. So
it is a mid tower.
It's a bit smaller.
Yeah, it's very actually it's very short. Mm-hmm. It's not that long. So that's the only reason I can fit it on the shelf that I have here too, because a lot of other cases that we're looking at are too big for the shelf that I have, and. I mean, we know I picked this because of the Infinity Mirror, obviously. Yeah, that was the whole reason. But, the backside of the case, there's not a whole lot of room to route cables or anything. Like, so I talk about all of that and kind of the thought process that I went through and, like, some suggestions if you are going to use this case on mounting and what products to use. And I linked all those products so you can check those out and everything like that. Because there's no cable tie-downs on the back of the motherboard tray.
Yeah.
So I had to make my own.
Kind of a nightmare back there.
Yeah, so I just go talk about that kind of stuff and some of the other products like the NZXT internal USB hub, which is a lifesaver,
mm-hmm.
Because there's not enough internal USB headers on the board to connect all of my RGB lighting.
So
I talk about all that stuff in that article. So definitely check that out, and the videos in there as well. If you missed the video, it is in there. So definitely check that out too. So really cool stuff. And finally, we were just talking about it earlier, is that I made a video for the Cooler Master Masterbox Lite 5 RGB. And this is the $69 case that has tempered glass side panel, 3 included RGB fans, and it looks pretty awesome.
Tempered glass front panel too, right?
No, that's not tempered glass.
Oh, it's not. It's acrylic.
That's acrylic. Oh. Or it's like plastic. It's like tinted plastic.
Gotcha.
But for $69, I think it is a really good deal. Uh-huh. Great tempered glass, just easy to build in. 3 included fans, which are RGB fans, and you can connect them to your motherboard, so you can have them match with whatever you're doing. And I had them match with the LEDs on my motherboard in this video. It's just a great case, and I think my video turned out pretty good. And you guys can let me know. Just check it out on YouTube and leave a comment.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I've been trying to do at least one video review a week on top of our written reviews, so hopefully we're kind of sticking towards that. So move on to news, and there's some definitely some interesting news this week, and I think Asus released the one of the coolest graphics cards I've ever seen them release. And it's weird because, at least in my opinion, Assassin's Creed is not necessarily a big PC title, at least in my opinion.
It doesn't actually play very well on PC.
Because I originally played Assassin's Creed on Xbox, and this is years ago, and I thought it was one of the best single-player games I ever played.
And my first experience was the original Assassin's Creed on PC, and I quit very quickly. It was very frustrating.
I think it's because most of... I mean, it was designed for a console.
It was designed for a controller.
So. Yeah, but Assassin's Creed Origins just came out, and Asus released a special edition card. And like I said, it's one of the best-looking graphics cards I've ever seen them release, especially if you scroll down, look at the backplate.
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah. So this card has sort of a bronze gold like die-cast shroud on it. It has like the Strix styling. So imagine the Strix styling with this kind of bronze gold die-cast accents on it. And then the actual fans have the center fan has the Assassin's Creed logo on it, which looks really cool. But if you flip over to the back, it has a full cover backplate with hieroglyphics on it. I can't even talk. And that's just like we saw a couple builds that were kind of like Egyptian themed. Like this would be the perfect card for that.
Yeah. I would love this card. I love that they slipped the Republica Gamers logo in there too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and right at the center, you can see that there is an Assassin's Creed logo on there too. Yeah. So very, very cool. It is.
Does it come with the game?
I would hope it comes with the game.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. No, it comes with the standard edition of the game.
Okay, good.
It comes with a game code, basically, that you redeem on Uplay. So
that's which is it, and is it available?
Let me check. Not sure. Yeah, I'll let you research. But it does have it's the cards clock the exact same as the ROG Strix 1080 Ti OC, so slight overclock as well. So yeah, it should be a little bit more than the ROG Strix 1080 Ti OC. It's a little bit more than that. So. And of course, GPU prices are all over the place still, I believe. So,
yep.
Yes.
Amazon is not returning results.
Well, maybe it's not available. Probably
maybe it's not out yet.
Yeah, and a lot of cards are just like completely gone off Amazon too.
Do they just delete them? They don't even have to post anymore.
I think they don't show up in the search results if there's none available. Yeah. So. But really awesome card.
We're checking out for sure.
Yeah.
If you're not gonna buy one, definitely check it out.
If you're looking at a TI, that would be one to get, and it's super cool, and it's gonna be different than all your friends' graphics cards for sure. So
looks like it's not a new egg either. So I'm guessing the release it's just not released yet.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned for that if you're looking for a 1080 TI.
Yeah.
Talking about high end graphics cards, NVIDIA teased a new Titan X. They released a 13-second video on their YouTube page that's titled "It's Coming," and it's a short little video. But if you do a little screen grab, you can see it says Titan X Collector's Edition. So it looks like they're working on a new Titan X. Not sure what the Collector's Edition means.
A 5% jump in cost.
But it looks like it is going to have in the cooler, it's going to have RGB lighting, which would be a first for NVIDIA.
Yeah, great.
And a lot of people are speculating that this could be the first retail card to have GDDR6.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, yeah. It's kind of been shown lately that HBM2 isn't
cracked up to. This could be like that's the you know what I mean, like it could be the same GPU just GDDR6, I don't know, and RGB lighting, and people will buy it, I'm sure.
It would be faster. I mean, if it's faster memory, it'll be slightly faster. I'm just, I'm, and I hope I'm not the only one that's feeling this way, that I'm just like, can we please just get the next series? I know you don't have to, but can we please just
We're not going to see, see that till next year, sadly.
It's lame.
Yeah, so... but I, that's like the Titan is their pinnacle card. You know what I mean?
Certainly.
Yeah. So it's exciting. I think
yeah, it's probably not going to be worth $1,000 they want for it though.
$1,200, I'm guessing.
Okay.
But yeah, it's going to be up there. But pretty cool on the horizon. When we know more, we'll definitely let you guys know. That's all we know. So yeah. So talking about teasing cards, XFX teased their own custom RX Vega graphics card, and there's like two or three custom RX Vega cards that nobody seems to care about. This one's cool. I like the design of this one, but it's still a Vega card that's...
I mean, you can wrap up junk in a nice, neat package, but...
Yeah, so one thing XFX... I can't even talk today.
Yeah, having a rough time.
I know. One thing that they used to do it in the past, not so much lately, probably because like AMD releases have been quite boring and overhyped. And I mean, Vega is kind of the same thing. But what they've done with this is they've kind of made like an X logo in the middle of the card around the two cooling fans. The shroud is wrapped in like a carbon fiber design. And then right at the center of the card are the two power connectors, which is different.
Well, the card is only half the size of the cooler. So.
That's true. That's very true. But it's still cool. It's different.
Yeah, no, it's very unique.
Yeah. It's cool to see an interesting card from XFX because we really haven't seen one in a while, at least I don't think.
They were like a really, really big player years ago, and they've kind of died down.
Because I think they only do AMD cards, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
For a long time now, they've only done AMD.
Yeah, that same thing with Sapphire as well, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I remember some amazing designs from XFX, and this reminds me of that, which is cool, but it's like, it's still a Vega card.
Yeah, it's not worth buying.
Yeah, at least not right now. Yeah. And we're not sure if this is a 56 or a 64. I would think it's a 64. They could use this design for, like, both of them. But it's cool looking card. So if you are looking at getting a Vega card in the near future, you might want to wait until this one comes out, because I think for custom cards you have the Asus one. Gigabyte released the custom one, but it's not that great, and I think that's it. So
Sapphire might have one.
Yeah, so it's this. I don't think Sapphire does.
No,
it's this card or the Asus one, really. So that's kind of what you're limited with.
So at least you have two options.
Yes, yes.
If you must.
Yes. So also talking about gaming, I guess you would say.
GPU.
GPU stuff is that HTC launched a new VR gaming bundle. It's a pretty good deal, actually. It's called the GeForce GTX 1070 plus HTC Vive bundle. Mm-hmm. And this gives you their Vive VR room scale solution, which is the headset with two of their controllers, plus the Founders Edition GeForce GTX 1070 and a copy of Fallout 4 VR, and it's $799. So basically $200 off their normal, if you price that stuff out individually.
Yeah.
Plus you get the game free, because the game, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I still would say that you're better off getting Oculus for $399 and a GTX 1070 for $400.
Yes.
I don't think that HTC is the way to go for VR right now.
Me neither. I don't think it has been. I think since we saw the Oculus stuff at CES, I've been kind of sold on the Oculus.
Since this past CES, since Touch came out for Oculus, it's the better headset.
Dude, you guys should have seen Derek. He like didn't want to leave. Like we were in NVIDIA, and he was just like, he's just going crazy. Yeah, he was going crazy on it. It was pretty cool. So
I set the high score, bro.
Did you?
I That's what they said.
So if you are interested in this is a good deal. So, you know, it gives you the card.
Yeah, if you want to go this route, it's a good deal.
Yeah, if you want to go this route, it does give you the card and it does give you the headset and the free game and the two controllers. So, I did play this on the HTC at the MSI booth with their backpack, which was fun.
Well, we went to their launch event for their little pucks.
Yes, you did.
And so we played a lot of things with different devices and stuff, and it's a good headset. It's just I think that Oculus is better.
Yes.
Oh, Bob's getting arrested.
I know. No, there's always. You see, what they do is there's a light out front, and the cops just want to go through it, so they just put on their lights really quick just to go through the lights and don't have to wait.
Yeah.
That's what happens. So yeah. But yeah, I do think Oculus is the way to go if you're looking to get into VR. Yeah. Just, you know what I mean?
I think that the touch controllers are better for Oculus. They're smaller, for sure.
Yes.
The wands, they're just a little better. The headset just feels a little better. The display feels a little better. I think the tracking is just as good, and you don't have to set up the cubes the same. So
yeah.
It's just an easier thing. But, you know, if you're set on HTC, obviously this is the time to, you know, get a good deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely a good deal. So definitely gonna check that out if that's what you're into. And another bad news story for AMD, and these things just keep on happening, it seems.
Yeah.
Morgan Stanley has forecasted that cryptocurrency-fueled graphics card shipments will decline by 50% next year. And that's a lot. That's a big $250 million decline in revenue.
It's an easy prediction, though.
Yeah. And also that video game console sales will decline by 5.5%, and AMD powers. They power both of them. Yeah. So, so basically, that forecast caused more or less a sell-off of AMD stock, and their stock just plummeted.
Yeah.
Basically, a 32% decline, which is pretty bad. Yeah, it did recover since this story came out.
It's come up just a bit.
Yeah, it's come up, but
it's not back where it was. But
and that's the thing, is that AMD had a really great year this year. Well, Ryzen helped it a lot, right? But on the GPU side, you know, cryptocurrency did fuel a considerable amount of their sales.
Yeah.
And if that's going to decline by 50%, imagine making $1,000 a month, whatever, you know,
yeah,
and you're only making $500 now. Like, that's a big deal.
I hope you didn't increase your spending.
Yeah, you know,
it was fairly obvious, though, right?
Like, yes,
it's going, the hashes are going to reduce, it's going to get harder, people are going to stop doing it, cards are going to drop back down in price, and the sales are going to plummet back. And by plummet, it's really just going back to where they were. Well, I guess it'll be a little worse for AMD because their cards are terrible. But,
yeah,
you know, they're obviously going to just go back to regular GPU sales.
And the thing is that people were buying, even like gamers were buying AMD cards because they wanted to like run crypto while they sleep or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anything you can get your hands on.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what next year brings, I would say. You know, there might be something new. There might be some new currency or some new thing or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure. I suppose, yeah.
You know, because a lot of people thought Bitcoin was dead like last year, you know? And we got a big resurgence.
Yeah, but it wasn't Bitcoin that was fueling the GPU sales.
True.
So.
True. Very, very true.
But, yeah.
So, another week, another bad story for AMD. It just seems like this just keeps on happening.
I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, they'll be good. I think they got
Ryzen.
They do have Ryzen.
Luckily, they've got.
Yes,
Ryzen.
Yes. So, Razer released a new phone.
I don't know why we're talking about this.
Well, it's because it's Razer, and I was surprised. I don't really follow much phone news, so there might have been leaks about this. I don't know, but I saw it and I was like, really? But this phone is supposedly made for gaming. It's the Razer phone.
Yeah,
it's Android.
They're first.
Yeah, they're first.
There's a device you never buy.
120 hertz display.
It's pretty cool. It's got a cool display for sure.
You know, as an Android phone user, which you are, is this a phone that you would consider?
Oh, no way.
Why do you say that though?
This is gonna have the worst battery life.
What you think?
120 hertz QHD on a phone? Like, sure, that's great as long as you can keep it plugged in the whole time.
4,000 milliamp hour battery, one of the largest capacities found on smartphones.
What does that do? Get me 6 hours then?
It says allows players to keep playing all day long.
No,
This is off the press release. I'm just reading the press release.
I don't believe that for a second.
Dual rear 12 megapixel camera.
It won't be great. The software won't be great. It's Razer. It's gonna be full of bugs.
It's all aluminum.
That's cool.
That is cool. I didn't really see much of the thing.
Here's my biggest problem. I don't have those little bead bracelets that the guy in the photo has. So, like, I'm gonna struggle to look right.
And here's the question: do you play games on your phone?
Not really. No.
Yeah, me neither. When I first got an iPhone, yeah. I was playing games on my phone, but I really don't. Because, like, in my free time, like, I'll be on like Instagram or Snapchat. Like, that's what I use my phone for. Honestly,
there's not free. If I want to play a game, like, put me on my PC.
Yeah.
I do like the 8 gigs of RAM. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, and there's like these. There's this list of game partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
So like Razer will be pushing the mobile gaming development with this phone, which I think is cool.
Okay. You're still, I don't know. I'm such a graphically driven gamer that like the graphics still aren't gonna be that great. It's not, you know, it's still running off of a phone's processor, so.
Very true.
You know? Well, and like, not only that, but okay, so you put this amazing display in, you're just sucking up more power out of the thing.
True.
You know, it's, I don't know. It's just a, it's a more of a futuristic device than what I think modern technology can support.
Like, I agree.
The battery
right
now is the biggest thing holding like technology back. So
it does. They say it's the largest, one of the largest batteries, one of the largest capacities found on smartphones.
Yeah,
so.
But like batteries suck, you know, in general.
Yeah.
That's why we're all carrying around backup batteries and stuff.
This is very true.
So like, it's just you can't do all the things that we all like dream of doing because batteries just aren't like battery tech isn't there.
It does have Dolby Atmos, which is interesting.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's some high end stuff in this.
It's got all it ticks all the boxes, but it's not gonna work.
Yeah, it
Sorry,
is.
It's not gonna work. It is cheap though.
$700.
$700 is pretty cheap.
How much is the iPhone X?
$1,000.
Is it? Yes, $1,000. So
yeah, the Pixel 2 is $900. $800 or $900.
Here's the thing that pisses me off about all these phones. Whatever happened to get a phone for $200?
Whatever happened to getting your phone for free when it was time to upgrade?
Like, yeah, subsidized phone. Well, come on. These phone manufacturers, they got smart.
They figured it out real quick.
Yeah, they figured it out. And they figured, you'll pay $1,000 for a phone. I think this is cool. Razer pretty much is the number one gaming brand, I would say, in all facets, not just PC, but you know, all these console gamers I know, they have the Razer headset, like, you know, so this is kind of where they're going. And the thing is, I'm almost positive that mobile gamers are the biggest.
It's the largest segment.
if they can grow mobile gaming, and where if you're playing games on a mobile phone, this is the phone to use, that could help them, right?
Sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So, but
I just don't believe it will deliver, and I will eat my words if I'm wrong. That's fine.
That's
I just
true,
don't.
Yeah.
I do not believe that Razer could deliver on this phone what you think it's gonna do. I don't think that mobile processor tech is there, and I don't believe the battery can stand up to what this display is requiring. So
I pretty much agree. So
yeah.
So cool. We'll see what it does. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about a lot of gaming news because there's a lot of gaming news stories this week.
Yeah.
First up, Star Wars Battlefront 2 has officially hit gold, which means that the final version of the game has been set sent out. It's ready to go. So no delays, which is good. Two, it's coming soon, November 17th, man.
Yeah. No delays can also mean, though, that they didn't get to fix things that they should have fixed.
There was a story that we didn't cover, but they, during the beta, there was a lot of concerns about, like, loot boxes and things, and they fixed those the way gamers wanted, which I do like. I think, again, Battlefront, the original Battlefront was not, never was a finished game when it was released.
Yeah, it was boring. There wasn't a game there.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I will get this. I don't know when. Probably after CES, because of how busy I am. Yeah. I might splurge and get it, you know, when it comes out. But like, you know,
Christmas Day, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm excited to play the
campaign.
The campaign. I'm excited for the DLC that will add more after the movie comes out.
Okay.
I'm excited about that as well.
Yeah. I will probably get it for the campaign. From what I've heard from professional reviewers, the multiplayer side of it is almost no different than Battlefront 1.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being much different. Right?
And that was not a very good multiplayer.
It was fun for like the first few times you played it. You're like, because you were in this big kind of open battlefield, and then you're like, oh, it's Star Wars 2, so you know. But then it just kind of
Star Wars thing that made it cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. We have not had a good Star Wars campaign in a long time. So
yeah. I'm excited to see what it's about. Yeah. So I will definitely I'll get it for sure.
Yeah.
So we have three PUBG stories.
Jeez, that's excessive.
Yeah. So basically PUBG right now is the biggest game.
Most concurrent players, so.
Yes. At PAX Australia, Microsoft said that the game will be coming out for Xbox, and there might be crossplay between Xbox and PC gamers.
Sweet.
I think we will mop the floor with the console gamers. I think the PC gamers will definitely mop the floor with the console gamers.
On this game especially.
So there is crossplay in a few other games. I know one for sure is Gears of War 4, which I've played on PC.
With our console friends.
Yes, for sure. And it's
going to...
Yeah, I think this will do the same. I think what they're trying to figure out is how to make it fair, how to make it work well. I just think you have so much more. Right? Yeah, you have so much more of an advantage when you're on a keyboard and mouse, especially in a FPS like this.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
This plays a bit like Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
And not in the original. Not people have problems with that, but in the like when you get into combat with people, it's very twitchy like that.
Yeah.
Like so. I see the mouse keyboard having a huge advantage.
Yes. Secondly, is that there will be launching version 1.0 of the game. So this game isn't technically out. It's in Steam early, what's it called, early access?
Yeah.
For $30, which is not expensive at all.
Yeah.
And in early access, it has, I think the last numbers were like 18.3 million users.
Yeah.
Version 1.0, which is a big deal, should be coming out late December. So maybe like Christmas, maybe a little bit after Christmas, right before the New Year. So that's pretty exciting for people who are really into that game, and I think waiting for bigger updates. And then
the new map comes then, right?
I have no clue. I don't even play that game, so I'm not sure.
I think so.
So that's just something that's exciting to look forward to. I think you know. I think it's a crazy success story, you know. And that many people are playing it, and it's not even, it's like it's in early access, which is crazy.
Yeah, but it's a very well-polished early access game.
Yes.
There are issues, server issues oftentimes, but it's not like you're running into game-breaking bugs and stuff.
Yes. So the last piece of news is that... the game could be banned in China.
Which would be pretty harsh.
which is a massive deal. Chinese players account for 44% of its user base, or player base, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So that would be a big hit. While the game hasn't even gotten official approval from the government, so many players actually access the game via VPNs. But if it's officially banned, there'll be higher restrictions on it, making it harder to play.
Yeah.
Which will kind of, wouldn't eliminate people from playing it, but will just make it harder, and people will just be like, oh, I'd just rather do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our three PUBG stories. I still have yet to play the game. I need to get into it.
Maybe. I've already installed it.
Yes.
I had my fill.
Yeah.
There's too much running. It's a running simulator for most of it, honestly.
Derek had a rage quit.
Many rage quits, man. That's the only way you turn that game off.
Yeah. So we talked about Assassin's Creed Origins, and it just came out. And apparently, there's a flood of fake positive reviews on the PS4 version of the game on Metacritic. Metacritic is basically a website that brings together reviews from all different areas as well as user reviews and kind of gives a score.
Right.
And the funny thing about the story is nobody knows where, like, is this just trolls or was this like...
did they pay for it?
Or, yeah, did the creator of the game pay for it and then, like, they paid some crappy service to do it and, like, they're all the comments are like very closely the same, and like the usernames are just like, it looked like somebody mashed the keyboard. You know, and the thing is we've like this is not an uncommon thing. We've seen companies try to game the system by having a ton of positive reviews.
Yeah.
We've also seen people get pissed off at a game and leave it a ton of horrible reviews. We saw that with GTA 5. When they banned, I forget what mod they banned, but they banned it, and then everybody gave negative reviews on Steam. So, like, I don't know what this is, but these are all positive reviews, but they're just obviously fake. So, who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
But very, kind of funny.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. And then here's
the game's actually had some bad PR as far as its DRMs goes. And
oh, such. Really?
As far as supposedly it has pretty terrible CPU performance because of some pretty heavy duty DRM. I don't know if it got cracked yet, because that's what people are waiting for, to see how much it affects it exactly.
I see. Yeah. So, here's a story for Derek. Is that a new Battlefield game will be coming out in EA's 2019 fiscal year. If you don't know, that like that's all Derek played and has for like a very long time was Battlefield 3.
Specific 4.
4, okay.
Well, I played 4. 3 a ton, but 4 was a lot more.
Yeah, Derek basically played his life away in this game, and the 2009 fiscal year for EA will be April 1st, 2018 to March 31st, 2019, so I'm guessing we'll see a holiday release. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
So this time next year. But nobody knows what it will be about. Battlefield 1 was a huge success for them, based in that time period.
Yeah, well, yeah, they definitely played up it being different pretty strongly, you know, just different from what they had previously. But a lot of people got really bored with the weaponry in Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they go back to a modern shooter.
Yeah, and one thing that was interesting about this story too is like this was all from their earnings call, so like their earnings was released, and DLC makes up. Almost all, like a ton of their income.
Well, that's because people don't release whole games anymore.
Yeah, I know.
That you pay $60 for part of the game, and then you give them $20 every few months for the rest of it.
Yeah. So yeah. So, what do you think the next Battlefield game will be?
Well, I'm just hoping that it's modern. I don't know if it will be. I mean, we just saw Call of Duty go back to World War II, so.
Yeah.
I could see Battlefield going to World War II as well. You know, why not? It's the next war in line.
Yeah. Yes.
It would be better than World War I think. Yeah.
I don't think they could do another one, right? I mean, that's what Battlefield 1 was. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, but I think a World War II version would be better than World War I.
Yeah.
Because they did like. I mean, they did all the equipment I think that you can possibly do from World War I.
Here's a thought. Could they do like a Battlefield like current day where like I don't know, like
where are you going with this?
Sort of like what's that game? Like sort of like the Division, like there's like it's martial law and like you know what I mean? Like that could be a thing.
Like a post-apocalyptic modern day shooter.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd be down.
Yeah.
Oh, Wolfenstein 2 came out. I don't know if you were following
it did.
That. Yes, I need to buy that actually because it looks really cool.
I have not even seen anything on it. We did release was it last week or the week before? Or forget when we released the official specs for the or system requirements.
System requirements, yes.
Yes.
The trailers for it have made it. It looks cool. It looks really cool. And the first one was a lot of fun too. So.
Nice. And then did not play that one.
Yeah.
So
worth checking out.
All right, so that is our news. Kind of a long news week, but we had a lot of cool stuff, I think.
Yeah, a lot of happens. Gaming news.
Yes, yes. Well, this is the time where games get released. And
indeed.
Yeah, so
what do we got
coming
next week?
Yeah. Oh, we got a lot of stuff next week. It's going to be a busy week next week. So first up, I'll be checking out the Auris Z370 Ultra Gaming. And this board sits pretty much in the center of the Auris Z370 lineup. Gives you everything you're going to want in a Z370 board. Plus, of course, being an Auris board, you get that RGB lighting that you want. Really cool board. I like it. It's a nice... I think it's only $169, too. It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm. Not bad at all.
Yeah, so...
I like the light strip on the right-hand side of the 24-pin.
Yes, and then they have a 3D model... The file that you can download, so you can make that strip say like whatever you want.
That's
say
cool.
Like Think Computers, or you know, like if you're on a gaming team, like you can put your logo. You know, you can do all that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool. All it is a little piece of acrylic, and then there's two LEDs on the ends, and that's what lights up that strip. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Yes, and then we have the Rocket Cross gaming headset. This is a stereo headset, pretty much made for like an all-around gamer. You can use it with your console, you can use it on PC, you can use it with your mobile device. It's just an all-around headset.
Sweet.
So it's a pretty cool design too, because the when you want to use it like as a real true gaming headset with a microphone, there's one cable that has an integrated microphone like that kind of pops out from the side, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You don't typically see that, so that is that's pretty cool. But yeah, just it's very lightweight too, which is great because I know a lot of people don't like the heavier headsets.
Mm-hmm. That's very minimal.
Yes. So we have that, and this is really interesting. So a new company who I'd never heard of contacted me to review one of their cases, and their whole thing is they make tempered glass cases. So I was all about it, obviously.
Yeah.
And the company's called Mean It, and they only have two cases, a 5 p.m. and a 4 p.m. And I'll be looking at the 5 p.m., which is a mid-tower case. Very open design. Three tempered glass panels, one on the front, two on the side. Very heavy case because you have the three panels.
Mm-hmm.
Four included LED fans. They're not RGB. You get the choice between red and blue. I got the blue ones. And I'd say I like the case. It's a very good, from a company I've never heard before, who hasn't been around that long, I can't imagine.
Where are they from?
And you know what's interesting is you go on their website and it doesn't really tell you anything about them. There's no like about us. And even when you go to the contact page, it's like service, troubleshooting assistance, replacement. Like they give an email.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure where this company's from, anything about them, where they started. They emailed me and said, our whole thing is we make tempered glass cases. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So again, they can't be that new. I'm not sure where they're even from. But it's very good first entry. And if you look at if you go to their website, the 4 p.m. case, I think something that you would like.
That looks really cool. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And again, that front panel is tempered glass. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, it looks
very, very cool.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yes.
Looking forward to that review.
Yeah. So, but I'm checking out the 5 p.m. Maybe I'll get the 4 p.m. after that review goes live. So, nice. Get one of those in. So, yes. And, also, as I talked about, I'll be taking a look at that Samsung portable SSD T5. That's their latest portable SSD, super fast, faster from the previous version, and some other stuff that they've added in there as well. So I have that, and it's the beginning of the month, so we have our worst PC setups coming out as well. So full month of content, or not month, full week of content.
Yeah.
A full week of content coming next week, and of course we'll have Case Mod Friday as well. So a lot of stuff in there coming next week. I'm trying to cram everything in for holiday season. So exciting time. Lots of stuff into review too. So
definitely, man. Looks like a good week to be on the site.
Yes, for sure. And that brings us to the end here, and we talk about if we did anything cool or geeked out or anything like that. And you told us all you did today was watch Stranger yeah. Things.
Aside from crushing Stranger Things, I did the Iceman Cometh Challenge, which is a giant mountain bike race. There's like 5,000 people. So
nice.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I didn't do anything like that.
No?
I don't think I did anything this week.
Well, you went to the gym, right?
I went to the gym today.
Nice.
But no, I mean like kind of like gaming, you know, tech related.
Just all work? All work and no play?
Yeah, for the most part. I'm trying to think. That would be something I did, but I don't think. I've just been working on reviews all week, so a lot of stuff coming next week, so I wanted to get all prepared for it. So that will end things here, guys. As I always say, we have our full show notes page, so as we talk about these different articles and reviews, you can click through and check them out for yourself. And on all of your podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. Super easy to find. If you can't find it, we have it just all on the website there as well. So until next week, catch you guys later.